John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of Writing with Ghosts, These Walls Still Talk, a conversation with author Brian Paone. When I started reading the book and you were talking about the Get Haunted investigation, I was like, well, that's a real company. That's really interesting to me. And then as I'm reading the book, all of the things that you mentioned, because I have done a deep dive into the penitentiary and we did an episode a couple years ago, what you're saying in the book is accurate. And so I really appreciated that, because you really do feel like this is what the paranormal investigation at the Missouri State Penitentiary would be like.
Right.
And then some.
Yeah. And the other thing that I did too, if you... in the Kindle version, I'm sure it's in the Kindle version, but in the paperback, it absolutely is. But before page one, before chapter one, is a map of MSP, and the buildings are numbered. So as you're reading, you can flip back and you know where the characters are at that point in the book. And something that I did in Reese, she's one of the tour guides at MSP. When she read the book, one of her first things, she texted me and she thanked me for keeping MSP looking exactly like it does in real life. I didn't add or take away anything from it. I didn't like add a scary, you know, hole somewhere that doesn't really exist. I didn't add a staircase somewhere that doesn't exist. I didn't take away a floor because it didn't work for the plot. Reese was very impressed with the fact that it's described exactly how it exists in real life, everything.
And Reese is in the book. You have her character in the book.
Yeah, all the tour guides made the book. You know, they're fictitious versions of themselves, but I used their real. What I did was, if I use their first name, I never use their last name, and if I use their last name, I never use their first name, and that was, you know, just so it wasn't truly them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm just borrowing their
kind
name.
Of a fictionalized character based on this person.
Based on that person. Yeah. Like Jenny is a firecracker in real life. You know, but I did exaggerate some of her just because she's funny, just to make it funnier, because she has some comic relief in it. You know, Duncan, who's the police officer, because they always have a uniformed police officer at MSP during the free roam, because there are people just wandering around, right? Duncan is a tour guide at MSP now, but he used to be Jefferson City Police, who used to be the uniformed officer during their ghost hunts. And when he retired, they hired him as a tour guide. So I put him back in uniform as a cop in the book. Right. So I did stuff like that with the characters. I tried to keep it as close to them in real life as possible, but then I also fictionalized them as well. You know, they're not truly those people, but they are those people. Right. They're inspired by those people. But Reese was very was very impressed with how she's like, so, cause so many authors embellish or change a location's, you know, facade to fit the plot, you know, but what I did was I made the plot revolve around the buildings as opposed to the buildings revolving around the plot.
I was going to ask you, cause now that after I read the book and I have a bigger picture of it, and now talking with you, did spending time in there by yourself writing at some points change the direction of the book by how you felt there, maybe experiences that you had there? Did those also come into play in the book?
You know, I've been asked that before, and I feel like the answer that everybody would want is me say yes. I think because I came up with the idea in MSP during an overnight, the tone kind of always stayed the same. Maybe if I had come up with the idea on a sunny day, you know, driving along the beach, you know, and then I went to MSP and it was at night alone, trapped in a cell writing, then I think maybe it would have changed. But I think because I concocted the idea at 2 a.m. inside A Hall during a ghost hunt, I think the tone started the way that I wrote it. I do want to say that the property started to feel less and less foreign every day that I was there writing. I felt less and less like a guest and more like I belonged there. And the more comfortable I got, maybe the more the story started flowing, because I felt at ease writing alone inside, you know, at 2 a.m.
I think that's just crazy. I don't think I could ever feel comfortable alone in a place like that. But then it also gives you that inspiration for what you're writing too.
So I think what happened was that my inspiration never waned. I never got writer's block. So maybe that's an appropriate answer to that question. I think this being there in the buildings writing prevented me from getting writer's block, or prevented me from losing touch with the tone that I always wanted. So I was able to keep the tone through the whole book.
Yeah. Because do you think the book would have been much different had you written it at home in your office? You know, you've been there a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you would know, but it would have been a different book.
Well, I'll tell you what. And here's like a good example. I'll try to walk you through like a couple moments I would have. There were times I would be in A Hall writing, and I had a writing desk right in the middle. And there were times where I would like fold my arms and I'd kind of lean back in the chair, and I would just look up at how huge that building is, and look at all the cells. And I would just take a moment to kind of reflect and look around. And it was almost like recharging my battery, and I would go right back to writing. I think if I wasn't in the building and had those moments, the book may have been different. I may have gotten a different result. I think if I was home in my right, because I have a writing office, a writing space in my house. I think if I was in my house, you know, and it was 2 p.m. with my cup of coffee and the sun was shining through my blinds, and I didn't have the ability to pause and look around and see MSP that may have taken me out of, taking my head out of the game, you know? So I think I kept my head in the game. I was never allowed to not have my head in the game, because every word of that book was written in there. I did not leave and only have, you know, 3/4 of the book written and then finished it at my house. Every single word of that book, from word one to word end, was written on property. I didn't write a single word off property. I made sure that I didn't even write a single word back at the hotel I was staying at. If I had an idea, I would write it down in my notes, not in the book itself, because I wanted to be able to come on shows like this. I wanted to be able to be on webcasts. I wanted to be able to talk to people at my book signings. And I wanted to, with full honesty and transparency, look at people in the eye and say every word was written inside MSP. I don't think I would be able to be able to lie if I knew the last chapter was written somewhere else, or like chapter six was written in the hotel room. You know, I wanted to be able to say nope every single word. And the same thing with the Ditto House. When I go to the Ditto House in 2 weeks to write book two, I want to leave with the book finished. I want to be able to look at people and be like, yep, and every single word in that book was written inside a house where there are giggling children who crawl into bed with you at night. Like, that's the thing it's known for, one of the things it's known for, which terrifies me to no end. But I want to be able to say that. I didn't want to lie, you know, and say that sentence, and I would know that I was lying, you know? So yeah, every word was written inside in one of those four buildings.
And spending that kind of time there, which is a lot of time, you know, outside of the people who give the tours, you mm-hmm. know, there's nobody who spent that kind of time in there. And prisoners, right. I guess, go way back, prisoners right. and staff. But did you feel the presence, were, you know, so after 8 weeks, were you like, this place is haunted?
I did. I also felt that the longer I was there, I would also talk to whatever energy was there out loud when I would show up every day. I'd say hello as if I was walking into work and saying hello to coworkers. I would walk into A Hall because that's where my writing desk was. That's where I would start writing every day, and then I would kind of then move around the property, you know, as I kind of got antsy or sketchy or wanted to, you know, different scenery. But I would always start at A Hall. So that was always step one. And I would, you know, open that big metal door, and it creaked and echoed through the hole, like, right? Can't make this up. And I would walk in and I'd be like, hey guys, I'm back. You know, what happened? Anything happened while I was gone? You know, got to finish chapter three today. You know, you guys want to come out and say hello? I'm here, but I'm going to go write. And I would talk as if they were there. I found that the longer I was there, the more I was seeing and feeling things. It was almost like they were getting comfortable with me. And yeah. Jenny was convinced that they started to know my schedule and were expecting me, because I was seeing things much quicker after arriving than I was in the beginning. MSP is known for what they call the peakers. They even have a shirt that says, don't fear the peaker. I have it. It's awesome. It's a hysterical thing. But peakers are shadow figures that kind of come out of the cell and like come to the railing really quickly and then disappear, or they dip back into the cell, and they're everywhere. And the peakers would be, it was like they were just always out when I was writing, and they got more and more comfortable with me. This is in my diary. I don't want to talk about too much that's in my diary because, you know, the goal is for people to buy
exactly.
buy the book.
And it's a very interesting read.
Just to kind of add to it, you know, the question, I'm on my last night there. The overnight was over. I was clearing out A Hall with Jenny, I think, or Lisa, I forget which tour guide. And I looked at who it was, but I looked at them and I said, could I just have like 90 seconds to say goodbye? Right? It was my last night. And they were like, yeah, sure. Just, you know, just lock up or whatever when you leave. Cause we were locking up the buildings for the night. And I stood in front of my writing desk, and I kind of just announced to A Hall as a whole. I was like, well, guys, I thanked them. I said, thank you, you know, for letting me into your space. Thank you for letting me create here. You know, I hope I did right by you and some of the stories, because, you know, some of the real stories of MSP make it into the book. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, somebody grabbed my elbow, but not in a yanking way. It would be like if somebody cupped your elbow with their hand. Like almost in a caring way. It was so palpable. It was so real that I snatched my arm and looked down. I thought maybe like Lisa was back and someone had like telling me to come on. It was palm, five fingers on my elbow. And I like jumped out of my skin. So it's moments like that where I think they knew who I was, right? That I was there. When I went back I went back last month. Last month was the big book release party. And I was curious what type of reception I was going to get. I'll tell you, I wasn't in A Hall for more than 15 minutes, and they knew I was there.
Really?
I just felt it. I just felt the place come alive, and in a good way. I know a lot of people talk about the bad energy there and the, you know, I felt nothing but welcoming there. And I just felt like A-Hall was just accepting me again. I just felt like whatever energy exists in that building remembered me and was like, oh shit, you're back, you know? And it was like a homecoming for like something I couldn't see.
You know, so many people who do paranormal investigations at the same locations, or they manage a theater that's haunted, they say they feel the same way. Like they know them, the spirits know them.
And yeah, I never would have thought I would ever say that. You know, like I said, if you went to 14 months ago, Brian, and you played this interview back for him, I'd be like, what the ever-living crap, right?
I do. So,
you know, it's just the whole experience has just changed me and changed my, you know, authoring projection. Now, something that we are very adamant about, my editor, my publishing company, myself, for my career and my brand, I have been published since 2007. My debut novel came out 18 years ago. Wow. I have spent 18 years building a career in my brand. The last thing I wanted was for me to turn into the author that writes at haunted locations and writes horror novels, right? I have built a fan base who expects and enjoys the fact that I write in all these different genres. Mm-hmm. I didn't want this to define me. I didn't want this to be who I became after 18 years of hustling as an author to just now pigeonhole myself into this little niche. What we've decided to do is these Get Haunted Tale books are going to be somewhat indefinite at this point, but there will absolutely always be another novel in between the Get Haunted Tale books. That way, my readers and me as an author, I'm not going to be just doing this. So my next book that's coming out, because These Walls Still Talk, you know, came out last month. So my next book is a comedy about This Is Spinal Tap type comedy about a werewolf movie from 1986 that goes horribly wrong.
Oh my God, I want to read that.
So it's a mockumentary where it's actually the anniversary of the movie. So the book is all these fake interviews with the cast.
I love that concept so much.
It's the interviews with the cast who made this really crappy werewolf movie from 1986. Now this movie doesn't exist in real life, right? It's Spinal Tap. You know, Spinal Tap wasn't really a band. So in my book, it's about a movie that isn't real, but in my book it's real, but it's not in real life.
Yeah.
But it's told by through the eyes of me, interviewing the crew, and it's like this cult movie now. Like they do screenings like Rocky Horror Picture Show, like people throw like silver at the screen. And it's turned into like this cult phenomenon, but it's awful. And so the book is, each chapter is a scene from the movie. You know, obviously I wrote. And then after the scene, I interview one of the crew members about all the crap that happened on set for that scene. And, you know, what a cokehead the director was. And like, it goes off the rails. So
I love that so much.
So
that is such
that's
a great
my
idea.
Next book. It's all, I'll plug it. It's called Howlers, Howlers, Howlers. And I think pre-orders are going to start August 15th for that. So that's going to be my next book. And so that was fun to write. And then the Ditto House Get Haunted, which will be Get Haunted Book 2, will be next. And then after the Ditto House, that is when I'm going to write that the book I was telling you about with the telephone
operator.
Which
also is a great idea. That's a really good idea too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So we finally, that will be after book two, Get Haunted. And then I have ideas for the Get Haunted book 3. But then after that, I'm going to have to write something else. So as you can see, we don't want to do 2 back to back because mm-hmm. we want to show my readers that I'm not just going to stay doing that. Like we want, you know. So if you could care less about the Get Haunted Tales, then
there's
you
something
just gotta
else
wait.
For you.
There's something else coming, you know. So, but the Howlers book was so much fun. It was so much fun to write because I've never written anything mockumentary or comedy wise. there's a lot of comedy in my books. There's a lot of comic relief in all of my novels. But I've never written a, like, setting out to write something that would be a comedy, you know, from start to finish. You know, they're on, like, their sixth stunt double, you know, because all the stunt doubles keep dying from, like, absurd accidents, you know. Kind of like Spinal Tap's drummer who keeps blowing up, you know. So it's very, very much in the vein of Spinal Tap. It's the best way I can describe it, but as a werewolf movie.
I do have to ask you, because you, when you went to Missouri to start this whole thing, mm-hmm. that kind of changed, you know, added a whole nother series into your life. You were taking these, continuing education to be a detective.
Well, yeah. So I
did become a detective? Are you a detective now?
Yeah, yeah. So I graduated. I got my certification September 20-something of last year. So I've been doing it now almost a year.
How do you find time?
That's what people ask me all the time. I know. You just do. And I have four kids between the ages of 8 and 17. And so between the kids and the writing and being a detective, and I do a lot of book festivals and conventions, and I speak at a lot of writers' conferences. Let me say this. I don't have time to, like, sit down and binge watch a Netflix show.
No, you don't.
I don't, right? So, like, my son and I are watching The Last of Us right now, but it's literally one episode, like, every third day, because that's all I have time for.
To me, writing the book in 8 weeks, I think, is impressive. Because, you know, some people, I know people have been writing a book for 5 years.
Right, but that's all I did when I was in there. I had a word limit goal every day, right? I said, you know, I need to hit this many words every day or I'm not going to make it.
True.
And I think it's focus and determination. You know what it was? It was fear of failing. Because Sheila and MSP were giving me this, like I said, this, like, golden, like Willy Wonka's golden ticket. If I didn't come away with a novel, I didn't just fail myself. I failed a lot of other people who let me
do this. Yeah, I see that.
I think I wanted to use the word fear, but I think the
pressure,
drive to not disappoint MSP, like the staff and Sheila. And the people who had been following me on social media through the process, I think the drive to not let them down kept me hyper focused to write. It made me not get distracted. It made me not, you know, want to keep checking Facebook every 2 minutes. Right? It was like, no, like you have so many people expecting this now. Mm-hmm. You know, more than any other novel I think that I've ever written, although. Yeah, probably more than – I mean the first Moonlight City Drive, we did a really big pre-release push on, where my book release party for that was in Cleveland. I got to the point on that where that got scary, where I didn't think I was going to make the book release party in time. The book was going to be done in time. This, I was going to let other people down. I was going to let people who stuck their neck out for me, who went to bat for me, who was letting me do something that they're never going to let another author do ever again. And if I came up short, I would not have been able to live with myself.
Yep.
So I think that and now going to the Ditto House this month, it's kind of the same thing, although it's a little less pressure. I think Ernie and Denise basically told me, they're the owners of the Ditto House. You know, they very, very clear, very, very clear said, Brian, if you get to your last day here and you haven't finished the book, just come back. Like at MSP, I couldn't go back. Like, so there was pressure of that. Like there was a definitive end date for me at MSP. And if I didn't finish the book, then I was finishing it at my home. There was no going back to MSP to finish. The Ditto House, Ernie and Denise have said, hey, you know, if it's your last day, because the reason why it would be my last day is because I can only take off so many days from work, right?
Yeah.
So there's a day I have to leave because I have to go back to work because I ran out of leave. But they said, hey, if you leave and you haven't finished, just come back for a long weekend. And that gives you 3 more days. Mm-hmm. Or, right? So they're very, very open to me. So the pressure is somewhat off a little bit with this one. I have in the back of my head where it's like, well, if I don't write the whole book during the time that I'm took leave from work, it's okay because I'll just go during like, you know, a 3-day weekend or something like, yeah. You know, like it's cool, you know? So that's making me feel a little bit better about book two, writing it on location.
Please keep me posted too when that one comes out, because I would love to chat about it again and how that went and what your experiences were like there. But I just,
absolutely.
I thought that this book was very interesting, and it gives people an idea of the Missouri State Penitentiary, what it's like to do an investigation there. And it really paints the picture very, very well. And so once I read the book, I could see how you writing it there, the picture was painted so well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think if I had never gone to the Get Haunted event and they did those breakout groups where we did the rotations, you know, the four stations, I don't know if I would have been able to come up with that on my own, because I'd never done a ghost hunt before. Mm-hmm. I think it wouldn't have been as authentic. I would have been doing what maybe I thought happened during them, or maybe what I'd seen on TV or movies, right? And then I would be Hollywoodizing it. But I think doing an actual Get Haunted event where I did those rotations, the book, I was able to just write it like it happened. But then, of course, I added in the extreme stuff that happens, right? Because you know, in each of four stations, something like happens to one of the characters that is way above and beyond what really happens during these, right? But it's a horror book, right?
Right.
So I'm trying to freak people out. So, but I don't think I would have gotten like the core of what really truly happens if I hadn't done one and been involved in one. And I did the Estes method in the gas chamber.
Oh my
God. I'd never done that before.
I couldn't imagine. Right?
So during the Get Haunted event, I volunteered to do the Estes method in the gas chamber. So when I wrote that scene in my book, you know, my two main characters are Hannah and Christian. You know, they're the guests. Christian, I basically just made Christian think, feel how I thought and felt during when I did it, you know? So it was so much easier to, you know, put that on him as a character than if I had never done it and I was trying to think of what it might feel like. So I definitely think there was some authenticity to my book because I physically did these things before I wrote about them.
And you're writing it inside there, you know, like, cause you said, you said that, you know, you had a word count you wanted to get to every day. And, you know, cause when you write, cause I write plays, and when you write, it's so easy to get distracted. You know, you can look at Facebook. I can't imagine sitting in that place and going, I think I'll look at Facebook for a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the atmosphere would, it would just be so intense and different.
It was, but I think that intensity I used more as fuel than as distraction.
Exactly. And it really, really works. Now, I got the book on Amazon. I just downloaded it to my Kindle, so that was super easy. But if you go to your website, they can see all of the books that you've written.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the best way to get the books, or is it someplace like Amazon?
So I'm just to let everybody know who's listening, all 11 of my books, and then including Howlers when that comes out September 13th, if anybody sounds like a good book. So we'll put Howlers into the mix. So all 12 of my novels are available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook. I'm also distributed wide, which means that every single of my paperback, ebook, and audiobooks are available everywhere those are
awesome.
Sold. So we're talking, you know, Barnes & Noble's Books A Million, Walmart, Audible, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, of course. Then I always put this as a caveat at the end. If you go to my website, which is myname.com, right? So it's BrianPaone.com. There's no anything else. It's super easy. I bought my name back when my second novel came out in 2010. If you go to my website and you order any of the paperbacks from my website, one, not only do I get all the royalties, now I have to share them with the store. Two, I sign every book paperback that's ordered through my website, and I sign it the day the order comes in. I do not have a box pre-signed books that I just reach in and grab and ship. I sign it and personalize it for that the day of the purchase.
Oh, that's so, you know, cool.
So you know that Brian signed this the day you bought your book. I don't like authors. I know a lot of authors that go order 100 copies of each of their titles. They sign the inside cover on all of them, and then they put them in a closet. And then when an order comes in, they just reach in, throw it in a mailing envelope, and out it goes because they're all pre-signed. I like my readers to know that they got theirs signed for them the day of their purchase. You can also buy the ebook and audiobook from my website on all of my novels. And again, I get 100% of those royalties, so I'm not sharing with Amazon, and I'm not sharing with iTunes, I'm not sharing with Spotify, I'm not sharing with Chirp or Findaway or all the other places that audiobooks are. Same thing with the ebook. The audiobook is downloadable. It's an MP3 format. So if you can listen to MP3s on any of your devices, you can buy any of my audiobooks from there. I also price them cheaper than you can get in any of the – I undercut all of the stores that carry my audiobook only because I get all the royalties, right?
Yeah.
And it drives traffic to my thing. Ebook, all of my books are available for ebook on my website. If you don't want to go to Amazon or Barnes & Nobles or any of those, and you have the option for two different formats, you can either download the PDF, because some people read e-PDFs. They like PDFs on their computers. Or you can download the EPUB version, which is the Kindle. So there is a Kindle version of it downloadable from my website.
And I will put a link in the show notes to that.
Perfect. One last thing I want to touch on is the riots, the 1954 riots.
Yeah, because you mentioned that in the book.
Yeah, the riots that happened at the Missouri State Penitentiary were one of the most violent riots in American history in a prison. It was so bad that they had police officers coming from over 100 miles away responding because they were so undermanned when the riot broke out. It is such a core part of MSP's history and kind of what makes it what it is, that I did so much research on the riot, because in my book, the riot takes place again, but as a residual haunting. And I wanted to make sure that everything that happens in the riot in my book is what actually happened during the riot in 1954 in real life. That scene in the novel is almost word for word what really happened at MSP. I just made them ghosts doing it, and then I threw my fictional characters in the mix. So, you know, you read the book, so you know when they go into the guards' wall to go through the guards' room, to go through the door, to go down the cell to get that prisoner, that all, honest to God, really happened. I say that because my book, even though it's horror and it's a ghost hunt gone wrong, it actually is more historical horror, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't change any of the facts of the history of MSP.
See, and I think that's, for me, what I really appreciated about the book. If you could write, I mean, you're a very good writer. You could create a prison environment that I would be wrapped up in. But knowing and doing an interview with them before, so I'm pretty familiar with that location, even though I've never been there, but you paint a great picture of it. It really lends this cool credibility to the book, because there's several things in there that, you know, even the way you describe it, the four rooms, the four places you can go, that's where you actually would go.
Right.
And so I just thought that was really interesting how you were able to tie in the actual history and what has happened within those walls into your book.
Thank you. And if anybody listening ever feels like taking a trip, MSP is a place to go. The staff, everybody, their ghost tours, their ghost hunts are amazing. This is a plug for them, not just because they let me write there, but they truly are the amazing group of people. And that property is beautiful, take out the paranormal stuff. It is beautiful. It's limestone. It looks like castles.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's just the property is just so gorgeous. And if anybody listening ever does find their way to MSP, and even if you're on a historic tour, because I even made friends with all those tour guides, tell them Brian sent you.
And buy the book in the gift shop.
Or buy the book before you go and read it. That way when you're there, you can be like, that happened there. And I know Hannah ran up the stairs there.
Yeah.
And the shadow figure came out of that cell. And ooh, that person died over there.
No, I think that's the way to go, because then you do get a better picture of it. So you can buy another book and give it to someone as a gift.
There you go. Yes. Gifts all around.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat. This was great.
Thank you so much.
And that wraps up our conversation with author Brian Paone about his latest book, These Walls Still Talk. You can buy his books wherever books are sold, and you can get more information at his website, brianpaone.com, and you can find that link in our show notes. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can also sign up at patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's
social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.